You are Locked On Suns, your daily Phoenix Suns podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Saw one team that wanted to be here and play with a purpose and urgency, and one team that did not want to be here and play with no urgency. And that's why we got our ass kicked.
This doesn't feel real. Here on today's episode of Locked On Phoenix Suns, we are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, and I'm your host, Brendan Kleen. I cover the Suns and the NBA at SB Nation, as well as Dime Magazine, and you can follow me on Twitter at Brendan Kleen 14. You can also, most importantly, follow our show on Twitter at Locked On PHX Suns, where you can tell me whether it feels real to you that the Suns are now up 42 points on the series against the Denver Nuggets, up, of course, 2-0, and 2 wins away from a trip back to the Western Conference Finals just as soon as they get back to the playoffs here 11 years after they last did. It's just sinking in. It is just really marinating in my brain. I don't know what to make of this game and this season, and all of it feels like it is stacking up, and I want to talk about that stuff a little bit and just kind of be there in that moment, but I also don't want to get ahead of ourselves, so we will break down this game, talk about what is to come in this series, and why I'm pretty still optimistic, of course, about the Suns, but some things we could see from Denver. You heard from Mike Malone, head coach of the Nuggets there, and some words to hopefully provoke in his mind, I'm sure, his team to do something a little bit different. We heard from Will Barton as well, who said that some things that needed to be said were said in the locker room post-game for the Nuggets. So a lot of interesting negative stuff, negative energy coming out of Denver right now, and obviously that's good stuff for the Suns. So let's get right to it, everybody. I did want to tell you first, though, today's show is brought to you by Stat Hero, the first ever daily fantasy sports book that gives the player the advantage. Go to stathero.com/lockedon for 300% back on your first play. Let's get into this game. It was a big-time victory, of course, 25 points, another blowout. The Suns have won 5 straight games. I believe 4 of them were by 13 or more points. Maybe 4 of them were double digits. I can't quite remember, but these games have not been particularly close, and that dates back all the way to the Lakers series. It includes both games in this one, and it was just very similar night for the Nuggets. Nikola Jokic did get to the foul line a little bit more, did pick up his assist totals, 24, 13, and 6 for him, 50% plus from the field, but another night where the rest of the team just did not step up, and the Suns were more than able to take advantage of that. They got a vintage performance from Chris Paul. He was 17, 15, and 5, no turnovers, picking on Michael Porter Jr., picking on Facundo Campazzo, even Paul Millsap in switches. That is the vintage. That is the classic Chris Paul, the player we have not really seen in these playoffs because the injury happened so quickly in that Lakers series, and it was a sight for sore eyes, I think, for all of us to see Chris Paul pull that out. I think, you know, if you had asked during the long, long review and treatment that he got right in the beginning of game one a couple of weeks ago, we probably all would have agreed that this guy was not going to have a game like this in the playoffs. And if you combine what he did in the fourth quarter against Denver in the first game and this one, it's looking like he's back, right? The John Wick Chris Paul crossover here. It just feels as if Paul is getting there. We heard this weird and admittedly a little bit silly report from Chris Haynes saying that, you know, if Paul was about 80% in the Lakers series coming out of it, he's about 90% now. I don't know really what that means. I don't really buy that much into it, but just our eyes tell us this guy is looking a lot better, and that's a big way, like I said, that the Suns were able to take advantage of Denver because they were missing threes, 14 of 43, just 32.6% there. only 40% overall from the field for the Nuggets. They also turned the ball over 11 times, the Suns only 7. And at all times, the Suns were basically ready to pounce. And it wasn't just the mistakes. I actually think Denver played a pretty solid game offensively for most of it again, like they did in the first game. But the problem is that the Suns are just picking apart this defense in a way that I don't see an answer for. And I wish I've been going on the flagship show on the network, Locked On Today, the national show, talking about this stuff, and been on after both games 1 and 2 so far. And both times it's kind of like I don't have any groundbreaking analysis. I mean, Zach Lowe wrote a piece at ESPN showing the way that the Suns space the floor and the movement that they have from those spacers, the off-ball screening that they use to free players up. I think that was a really smart piece. I talked to you guys about some parts of that as well, but mostly as it pertains to Devin Booker, how far back they were spacing him when he was just really a decoy. We know how much he is moving off the ball. We know how much DeAndre Ayton's rolling has helped this team. And also, Aaron Gordon, when he has to defend Booker, is so far away from the rim that so many of the advantages you might hope for if you're the Nuggets just aren't there, because the Suns are pulling them so far apart. They are making them think so much, and the Suns are dictating the matchups to such a degree that it's really relegating a player like Gordon to, you know, mano a mano perimeter defense duty rather than the help stuff that makes him so good. So all in all, it just doesn't feel like there's an answer that Denver can have. Can they have a night where they just really, really shoot the leather off the ball or whatever you want to say? Sure, of course. And I think that's probably coming one of these home games, 3 or 4. We should be ready for the Nuggets to really blow up. But for right now, you're having Jokic, who is only going to be able to score so much. And I think he probably could score more. I think he could be a little bit more aggressive. But at the same time, I think that there is, to me, truly and honestly, I felt at moments tonight a little bit like I did watching LeBron in the first series, which is a player who is looking around at his teammates, looking around at the way that these games are going, and doesn't seem super optimistic or energized by the odds that the team that he's playing on is facing. Like, it just felt at times like that LeBron performance was, I have another level potentially. Like, maybe I can really, really, really bust my butt here and, you know, risk injury, risk exhaustion, play these minutes that are unfathomable, all that. But are we really still going to win? I don't think that it's quite as dire for the Nuggets now as it may have been for the Lakers then. But at the same time, they're both in similar situations. They were without their co-stars. They had teammates who were shying away from the moment or who were just outright missing. And it makes sense that it would be demoralizing. So I think Jokic should and will be more aggressive, but you just don't have a lot of other options. And that's what feels, it has a very similar vibe to the end of that Lakers series. And again, with the pretty simple, obvious reality that the Nuggets are not going to be able to crack this defense, and Chris Paul doing this right now, I think everything is just trending in the direction of the Suns making pretty quick work of this Nuggets team, barring something unexpected is what I meant to say. So we'll talk about the adjustments and still some things that we might see, especially lineup-wise or, mostly lineup and rotation-wise is where I'm looking. I think, you know, we'll talk about it. But in general, the Suns just feel so dominant right now. And I think that that's plain for all of you to see. That's plain from a 123-98 end final score, right? It's looking bleak for the Nuggets. So let's keep it going, guys. Let's get into more of what the Suns did really well. Some things that I noticed in this game that helped the Suns win, maybe that were a little different than game one especially. But first, let's take a quick break to hear one more time from Stat Hero. Did you know that 85% of people who play daily fantasy sports lose? Well, it's not that surprising. The game is rigged against you. You're playing against thousands of other lineups, not to mention experts, people who literally do it for a living, who have way more tools and more time than you. You just don't stand a chance. Well, introducing Stat Hero, which is the first ever daily fantasy sports book that puts the player in control and winning within reach. Here is how it works. Stat Hero shows you their lineups and dares you to beat them. It's you versus the house in a head-to-head fantasy matchup. You name your stakes. Winner take all, you have the advantage. Stat Hero shows you their lineups ahead of time. No one else does that. Stat Hero is, it's, think of it like a casino. I mean, imagine if you were playing poker against 1,000 hands versus just trying to beat the dealer. It's really like that, and it's nice because you know what you're up against. It's pretty similar to, you know, it's kind of bringing the regular fantasy back into daily fantasy by, you know, here's the lineup I got to beat, here's what I need to do, and let's go ahead and get it done. You are in total control. Stat Hero is daily fantasy the way it was meant to be, one-on-one. Play Stat Hero now and change your odds. Go to stathero.com/lockedon. Sign up for free, and right now you can get 3x back on your first play. Yeah, that's right. They're giving you a 300% match. That's unheard of. Go to stathero.com/lockedon. stathero.com/lockedon. Today's show also brought to you by Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar ever, and my favorite protein bar. Built Bar is delicious. Built Bar is low calorie and low sugar. It really checks all the boxes. It checks all of the boxes. I've tried the Grasshopper cookie. I'm actually basically done with them. Been telling you about those. You can get excited about that. But in the meantime, go back to your favorite. Everyone has one. Everyone who's ever tried a Built Bar pack knows what they love because they're so unique. They have a different type of flavor for each palate, for each taste. Whatever you love, Built Bar has you covered. And all of them, again, low calorie, low sugar, and packed with protein to get you through the day, help you with your workout routine, or just be a nice snack that you don't have to worry about being unhealthy. It's the last thing that Built Bar is. Built Bar is perfect for any diet, and again, packed with protein. So go to BuiltBar.com, try it for yourself, and use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. Again, promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Alrighty, let's get into some of the good stuff that we saw from this Suns team. In no short supply, of course, a 25-point win, a 71-point second half, and a vintage, again, performance by Chris Paul leading the way. But digging in here, because there are a few things. I thought Aaron Gordon, I really should go back and try to watch this. He didn't play much in this game, which is really interesting. 20 minutes, the rest of the starters were at 25 or more. They seemed to go to Jermichael Green a little bit more, which is something I'll talk about more in the last segment, but I think this had something to do with it. I don't know if it's because the Suns they didn't have Booker on him, so that matchup was different. I think a lot of that was just switching in game one, though, and cross-matching and laziness even maybe from the Suns. So they didn't seem to go to that matchup defensively as much, but regardless, Gordon was pressing a ton. I think he took 2 or 3 or 4 shots in the first quarter. He was taking floaters and long layups, these bad, bad shots that, you know, for him, are they makeable? Sure, he was 3 of 7 from the field, so not super makeable, and just out of the flow, and I'm sure there was a game plan going into this that they saw what Gordon was able to do in the post and inside against Booker and just in general against the Suns defense in game one and said, you know, come out aggressive. But he was just not choosing the right shots, not choosing good shots, at least. Maybe that was the game plan, but obviously didn't play much in the second half, so probably did not like what they saw there. The Nuggets started this game 0 of 8 from deep. And also in that first quarter, we saw the Suns going in and out of some zone. I mean, it wasn't a traditional zone. Like, it wasn't sort of, you know, get into your area and don't leave it. It was like a matchup zone, maybe you could call it. It was sort of, you know, I'm by my guy, but we're not really defending in man coverage quite as much as we had. If that, you know, you guys saw it. It was basically, I think, designed to play these passing lanes even more, confuse and manipulate what Nikola Jokic was seeing even more. The Suns were excellent, just disguising and showing so many different things defensively in this game that way. So I think all of those contributed to why the Suns got out to a nice start, 4-point lead after the first quarter. They won every single quarter in this game. And just to dive into the defensive switches, kind of game plan switches a little bit, and then I want to talk about Michael Porter Jr. as well. But with the way that the Suns were defending was a little different than last game, where they were basically letting Ayton try to control Jokic, just single cover him and live with the results, basically, scoring wise, but stay home on the shooters, maybe send some late help or some digs, or just, you know, make Jokic uncomfortable. For the most part, it was just those two battling down low. This game was different because Ayton got into foul trouble early, picked up two fouls in the first. It was 7:04 left in the first when he picked up his second foul. He didn't actually get another foul the whole rest of the way, which is pretty impressive and a testament to him staying focused and poised, but they had to switch things up. So they went to some of that zone. They went to a switching kind of concept that got a lot of attention, which was in the pick and pop, especially when Jokic went to that. The Suns would switch because they would basically have a small guy and feel fine with that, because Jokic is out there on the perimeter, can test the three if he takes it. He's not really that type of player that's just going to bomb from three all night. So they knew that was coming. And then when and if he did try to attack that mismatch by settling into the post or the elbow, they did a really good job of reswitching to get the big back onto Jokic, or from there they might double or send help, so as to kind of continue to make him uncomfortable and react. And just that activity level and that creativity level was really, really good. And I think I heard some talk like going into this game of like, oh, the Suns won game one, so there's not much to say about what they need to do differently. Well, that's not true, because if you do something for 48 minutes, let alone 96, Nikola Jokic is going to see it and completely pick it apart. I mean, we've seen that for ourselves in this exact postseason, for Booker especially, where that Lakers series and into this Nuggets series, he's just not fazed by these double teams and traps and all this anymore. So the idea that Jokic was going to just kind of fizzle based on the same defensive scheme as he saw in game one was wrong. And the Suns did a really good job figuring out some new ways to make him uncomfortable. That brings me to Michael Porter Jr. I'll give a little bit on him, just why he was so bad, what the Suns were able to do against him on both ends of the floor that I thought was successful. And then that leads us to adjustments, because it kind of begins and ends with Porter, in my opinion, if the Nuggets are going to outscore and even just keep pace with the Suns in this game, three and beyond. So Porter was 3 of 13 from the field. The Nuggets got outscored by 26 points while he was on the floor tonight. 3 of 13 from the field, 2 of 9 from deep, and just an ugly, ugly night. Four fouls. A lot of those came when the Suns would just really attack wherever he was on the floor defensively, whether that was Chris Paul, as I said at the top of the show, finding him off of a switch and just attacking in isolation and drawing fouls, whether that was Mikal Bridges cutting or moving without the ball, or increasingly looking pretty darn confident taking Porter off the bounce and creating for himself, which is a wrinkle we saw from Bridges during the regular season, but not much at all during the Lakers series. So another good sign. And it just all contributed to a game where Porter was taken advantage of, quite frankly. He really was not getting to the basket. He went into this game with some back tightness, apparently, and that was suffered in the second quarter of game one. He was somewhat questionable, up in the air if he would play in this game. I felt pretty confident he would, but does not answer detractors or worriers about what level he could be at all tonight. I mean, he answers them, but pretty badly. And he's already not the type of player that's a super aggressive attacking type of guy, but especially with this back thing, just a terrible performance, and they're going to need more. I mean, I get that he's hurt and he's not really equipped to be a ball handler playmaking type right now, but they just need something. That takes us to our adjustments here. So let's get into those. I just, it was a complete dismantling of the Nuggets' top two options. And when those guys either made a mistake or were made uncomfortable, the Suns just pounced, completely took advantage, got out in transition, created open threes, moved the ball, all the stuff we know them to do. But they were just relentless and incredible in this game. And so it was more about taking away what Denver wants to do and then just capitalizing it more so than it was the Suns, you know, pulling a rabbit out of a hat on offense themselves. And it's just really impressive to keep seeing the ways that they can adjust game to game and really just attack whatever the opponent wants to do. That'll be it, though. Let's get into some adjustments for game three on Friday night. First, though, a quick word from Lucy. Lucy provides you an alternative to cigarettes with gum and lozenges, founded and developed by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. They want to bring you tobacco alternatives that do not suck. Yeah, that's right. They researched this stuff and developed it for 3 years to be made just for people, not patients. Lucy, again, with nicotine gum and lozenges, both with 4 milligrams of nicotine each. The 3 flavors of gum, wintergreen, cinnamon, and pomegranate. 3 lozenge flavors, cherry ice, citrus, and mint. They all sound delicious, and they have superior taste. That's really, really what makes these special. Also, they're FSA and HSA eligible, so you can use your cards to purchase Lucy now, and it's convenient and discreet. Products can be enjoyed anywhere, on flights, at work, on the go, or even in the gym. Make the switch from cigarettes and go discreet, go delicious, and go affordable. It's 2021. Get rid of your cigarettes, unplug that vape, throw out your dip, and get some Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges. It can be hard to make that switch, guys. I know. I have family members. I've seen, you know, different products, this and that, this trial run, this, but Lucy is the real deal. A subscription to Lucy comes directly to your door each month. It's very simple, and you don't have to leave your house because Lucy has delivery down. Lucy lozenges and gum, again, FSA and HSA eligible as well, so you can spend pre-tax dollars on them. For our Locked On NBA Network listeners, go to lucy.co and use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA, all one word, to get 20% off all products on your first order, including those gum or those lozenges. That's lucy.co, promo code LOCKEDONNBA at checkout. Also, I have to give this disclaimer, warning, this product contains nicotine derived from tobacco. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Lucy.co, folks, and be sure to use that promo code LOCKEDONNBA. Let's close out the show with some adjustments we might see in Game 3. Today on Road to the Finals, our NBA playoffs coverage is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. And at 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, we can all enjoy the games a little bit more this season. I talked about Michael Porter Jr. Let's start there. He did not make his first bucket in this game until there were 3 minutes and 45 seconds left in the second quarter, which is miserable. He did make a big three with 10 minutes to go in the third. It felt like he could just pull these threes out. So part of me wonders, like, you know, Is the back tightness the problem? Is it just him being in a playoff environment for the first time and not the first time, he did play last season, lesser role though, and not knowing, you know, how to sort of get consistent offense with his style in the postseason environment? I don't know, because he did make some big shots, but he also missed some really reasonable ones that seemed makeable. So he just never goes to the rim. And so if they can get him or Aaron Gordon back in position around the basket, getting some easy buckets, getting to the free throw line. Again, we did see Ayton get into foul trouble. If the Suns can get other guys into foul trouble, I talked about that with Michael Pina of Sports Illustrated on the Wednesday show, just the idea of even Devin Booker getting into foul trouble, what that would mean for the Suns rotation. So I would just expect that the Nuggets would continue to find ways, whether that's both of those forwards in a two-man game situation with Jokic, or, you know, different things like that, those guys posting up, something, because they are settling for bad shots right now. And so I would imagine that's going to be a massive message from Mike Malone, who, again, called the team out and just said that the mindset and the energy level were wrong. I would imagine getting to the line, getting to the basket is a major source of where that energy can be channeled. So I would imagine we do see it. campaign was another quick thing here. Not that that's an adjustment necessarily, but it does bring me to one other kind of point here that I think is worth noting. Payne did look a little bit more spry. He got to the basket a little bit more in this game. Did not have a good game one, and so that was nice to see. Although his aggressiveness, his assertiveness, he got five fouls, which the only player to get five in this game. Fouls were not really much of an issue for either team after that first quarter. 20 free throws for Denver, 17 for the Suns, and somehow, some way, Payne ended up with five. But you're seeing for the Suns that Torrey Craig is becoming more a source of that energy, really, to me. The spark, the glue that comes off the bench. We saw Payne do that most of the regular season, frankly, but especially against the Lakers. And in this series, it really has felt like it's been Craig. Four rebounds, two offensive glass, made one of his threes, scored 10 points, just doing all those things that change the course of a game, and especially this sort of lethargic Nuggets team. I think it's probably pretty likely that we see the Suns continue to lean on Craig pretty heavily. Cam Johnson did not play a great game, didn't have much of a good game one either, so maybe Craig gets even more minutes. I do think this is a pretty good matchup for him with that Porter, Millsap, Green three-headed monster in the front court bench lineup that Denver likes to go to. But that bench point is where I really wanted to get here. So we have Will Barton make his debut in the postseason in tonight's game. 16 minutes. He did say after the game that this was a risk to play, and he's comfortable accepting that risk, which is alarming. This is a guy who really has dealt with injuries for most of the past two seasons, but he was pretty good. He scored 10 points. He had a block and a dunk right when he checked in that were really motivating, I think, for the team, and has good length and size that you would think would theoretically help some of those defensive problems that Denver is having, just covering the amount of ground that the Suns' offense is requiring them to cover. So I think one change we could see would be Barton for Rivers in that starting lineup. The issue is you don't really know how much you can afford to play Barton, and so that makes it a little bit more difficult. Monte Morris still not playing well. He's 2 of 17 from the field in this series. He would be another option to potentially start in place of Rivers or Campazzo, but he's not playing well either. So I don't really know if there is a lineup change. I do think, though, in general, more size from Denver seems to be a good policy here. I think, you know, having maybe really, really go big, and if you were to take Campazzo or Rivers off the floor and have another big man like Millsap or Green out there, I actually think that could be something that works, where you can have Gordon defending Booker on the perimeter and then have one of those forwards and Jokic both be at the basket to help at the rim. The Suns actually did not score very well at the rim. A lot of their offense really did come from three, but I just think if you have more of a, you know, whether it's even just to contain Ayton on those rolls or things like that, I think it could help. It's just another thing where it's like, okay, well, even as I'm saying that, I'm like thinking about how it sounds for you guys, and I'm realizing, well, the Suns just burned them from three. So if you put slower guys out there, how's that going to get better? And the answer is it probably won't, but it might just be an adjustment we might want to, you know, that the Nuggets might want to try. They're not really going to change how they defend the pick and roll. Nikola Jokic hedging all the way out on the perimeter, that's here to stay. That's how they've played ever really since Jokic got there. Suns are burning them on that, but they don't have a better option, because if they drop, then Jokic can get blown by even more, you know, or he can still get blown by, but then they, you know, are also then having to worry about pull-up threes and the like. So maybe they do drop a little bit more, because that again takes away Ayton at the basket, but you're picking your poison in a big way right now because of how many things are working for the Suns, and I don't see a great answer. That's all I got for adjustments, guys. I wouldn't be surprised if we see more Barton, maybe him starting, just more size for Denver overall now that they are getting seemingly a little bit healthier. But Dario Saric played incredibly in this game. Those bench minutes continue. Plus 15 for Dario, plus 13 for Craig, plus 12 for Cam Johnson, plus 9 for Payne. It just it's not an easy recipe. If the Nuggets are going to win games here, it's going to be because they just outscore the Suns, and that's where it is. I did want to end here quickly, though. I want to note, guys, this building has been completely electric, insane, to be honest with you. I was talking to Brandon, our Monday co-host here, and just about, he was at the game, calling it basically just a party. I mean, it really feels like that. It's the energy, the cockiness that I think a lot of us Suns fans and followers are starting to have about this team, and just the atmosphere has been awesome. You probably saw the kid ripping his shirt off, adding to the festivities. Campaign, after he picked up that fifth foul, just screaming to the crowd, even though he made a pretty obvious mistake getting the foul. It's just, it's awesome to see. And it, again, as I said, to start this whole thing off, feels just very surreal. The whole season, frankly, like I've been thinking a lot about Chris Paul for, you know, obvious reasons with how well he's playing and just the idea of him returning to the conference finals potentially. And I was just thinking back to the trade itself and just how unlikely it was that that would happen and be so successful so quickly, and that he would gel with this group so well, and that this whole story would come together. Just, it feels insane. I mean, just the idea that a team that missed the playoffs for 10 straight seasons and is now back would return to the conference finals potentially. And again, not to get too far ahead, I think that's where this is headed. I'm not saying it'll be a sweep or anything like that. I just do think that this is a very poor matchup for Denver, and they don't seem to have the juice to get it done. And that means that the Suns would return back to where they last were the last time they were in the playoffs. So it's really exciting. I know you guys are enjoying it. I know everybody who's been able to make it out to the games is having an awesome time, and these games are just so fun. The Suns have a freaking 5-game winning streak in the playoffs, and it is against two elite teams that were in the conference finals last season. So you cannot say enough about this performance and the way that the city has responded. And I just wanted to shout all of you out and just kind of bring you into that building a little bit, and I guess just ramble for you a little bit to close the show. But that is all I got for you. I do appreciate it, the listening and everything. We've been seeing great numbers. That means a lot. And it's not over. Be back tomorrow with Jackson Frank breaking down this series, getting a little bit more into Game 3, and probably zooming out a little bit and talking about the growth we've seen from this Suns team this season. What makes them so scary? Jackson's written twice about the Suns lately, and I think it's worth bringing his X's and O's mind into this thing to really give you guys a taste of that. So look forward to that on Friday morning, and enjoy the rest of your week.